Praise God. Can you lift one hand up to the Lord this morning and say this with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive your word today. It shall not depart out of my mouth. I will meditate day and night on your word. Therefore, I shall make my way prosperous, and I shall have good success in every realm of my life. I'm a doer of the word, and God's word comes first in all things. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Come on, look to somebody and say, I'm a success because of the word of God. I'm a success because of the word of God. Amen. Go back to Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 with me this morning. Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 with me this morning. This is a word of the Lord that is going to literally transform our thinking. The Lord bless you. This is a priestly prayer. The Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. You know, as a young boy growing up in a church that did not teach that you had to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, our minister in that church used to stand up at the conclusion of every service, lift his hands up and quote that scripture. And then we would leave church. Now, I had no idea what he was talking about. It sounded great. It sounded as though that it was appropriate. But I didn't know how to apply it to my life. But as I read it today, because I have a personal relationship with my high priest, Jesus Christ, now I have an understanding that the priestly prayer is one of Jesus over my life. He wants to bless me. He wants to keep me. He wants to make His face to shine upon me. He wants to be gracious to me. He wants to give me peace. And today, that's the blessing. That's the blessing that God has for every one of us in this room this morning. I want you to begin to open your mind to that. You need to begin to be receptive to that it is God's plan and God's will that He bless you. Now listen, we can't get confused about the blessing. You know, the blessing is not cars and houses and, you know, money in your pocket and a lot of clothes in your closet and brand new houses. You know, we say, yeah, I'm blessed. Look at all the stuff I've got. Listen, if that's what you're looking for, you're missing it. Don't look for the effects of the blessing. Look for the blessing itself. It's like when we look outside and we see the trees blowing in the wind, and we'll say, well, look, the wind is blowing. No, that's not the wind. That's the effects of the wind. But the wind itself is a power behind the effects. And what you and I need to look for today is not the blessing that's in the hand, of God, but rather get the blessing that's in His being, that He might impart to us His favor. Everybody say, I need the favor of God. Amen. You need the favor of God this morning. Look over at somebody and say, you need God's favor in your life. Hallelujah. You know, it only takes a little bit of effort to be above average. You know, most people come out of mother's womb and they're just average people because they were born in an average family, living in an average town, and will have an average job and an average marriage, and they'll die an average death. But it takes so little to be above average. And it's the little that makes the difference. I want to identify this morning what the little is in our life that might be missing. Because I believe the little in a difference in a person's life can make all the difference in a person's life. So we need to look for what the little is. You see, success is in ordinary people who reach for extraordinary levels. John 10:10, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it how? More abundantly. But it's only the people who reach for that level that it'll ever experience it. It's only the people who begin to employ that kind of thinking that will ever experience it. I believe the difference between a person who's average and a person who's exceeded average is in their thinking that they have ability to go beyond where they are. I believe successful people get fed up and they're not satisfied with where they are, and it drives them to go to something greater. See, today we can't allow circumstances to fence us in. We need to begin to look at our circumstances and our conditions and saying, okay, you know what? You have given me enough of an impetus to be able to move out of where I am. In other words, I'm not satisfied with being average. I'm not satisfied with the job I have. I'm not satisfied with my relationship with my spouse. I'm not satisfied. I want to go further. I want to go higher in my walk with God. Now, how many of you this morning would say that's me? Let me see your hand. All right. But here's what most of us need to get there. Are you ready? Now, this is where you can really shout. This is really where you can get up and praise the Lord. This is where you really can say, preach it, preacher. This is where you can get your hand and wave it up and down. Give me a shout. Give me a little dance. Are you ready? Here it is. This is what's normally required to get us from average to the level that God wants us. Pain. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was good preaching up until that point. Now you messing with me now. Oh, no. Wait a minute. I thought I had a covenant with God. What's pain got to do with anything? Come on, look at somebody and say, pain equals change. You know and I know that until that tooth starts hurting to the level where you can't cope with it anymore, you're not going to call the dentist. You're going to try Excedrin, you're going to try Advil, you're going to try something to take care of that pain and manage it long enough, but when it gets unmanageable, then you get desperate, and when you get desperate, you're moved to alleviate the pain, amen? So pain equals change. As a born-again believer, don't be afraid of pain. Sometimes pain can be your best friend. Sometimes your enemies can be your best friend. I believe that pain can promote you. I believe your enemies can elevate you. I believe that conditions and circumstances that are contrary to your desire and God's plan for your life can be the very launching pad that'll catapult you into the above average lifestyle. But see, you've got to have that kind of thinking. It's the thinking that will make the difference. There are those that'll be average, and then there'll be those that'll live above average. And you say, well, they're just blessed. No, it's because they're in pain at one point of their life and decided, I'm not living like this anymore. I refuse to live this way. That's 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 4 and 5. Four lepers, and they were banned from the city. Now, the city was in a famine anyway, and they weren't about to be able to go into the city and go to McDonald's and get a burger. They were starving to death. They weren't allowed by their own standards of social interaction to go in and interact with people because they had a leprous disease. And they were banned. So they were on the outside of the walls. Now, on the inside of the walls of the city, there was trouble anyway. There was no food to be had. But they decided that why should we sit here and die? You see, hunger drove them to make a decision. Hunger drove them to make a decision. You might want to write that down. Because when you get hungry enough, when you get desperate enough, it will demand that you make a decision and force you to do something that you would never otherwise do. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there are times in my life that I won't make a decision unless I have no other alternatives. And sometimes the Lord allows our alternatives to dry up. Sometimes God, through the Holy Spirit, begins to eliminate them one by one. And we stand there looking around saying, now, I could have done that, but that's gone. Let's see, I should have. Well, that's gone too. And, oh, my, where'd they go? Okay, God, I guess it's just you and me. We're going to have to make a choice. And so they decided to go into the camp of the enemy. And they decided to go into the Assyrians and say, listen, if they kill us, we're going to die anyway. But if we find grace, if we find favor, everybody say favor.
Favor.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, the blessing is an impartation of favor. And may the Lord bless you. And may the Lord make His face to shine upon you. And God said to Abraham, I will bless you and make you a blessing. The blessing is this, I will impart favor to you. I'm not going to give you everything you need in your hand. I'm going to give you the source of things that you need. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6, seek ye first the blessing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then what did He say? All these other things will be what? Added to you. But the addition came from what? Possession. And what you and I need today is the blessing. We need to possess the blessing. Possess the impartation of God's favor. I want you to go over to 1 Chronicles this morning in chapter 4. How many have ever heard the story of a man by the name of Jabez? All right. Bruce Wilkerson has written a powerful book, just a powerful book on Jabez. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9, something happened. If you begin to read in that particular portion of Scripture, you'll find that it is a very boring part of the Bible. Can I say that about the Bible? All right, maybe some of you are more spiritual than I, but I just can't get into it. I start reading in verse 1, and the sons of Judah were Perez and Hezron and Carmi and Hur and Shobal. And Rehahiah, the son of Shobal, begat Jahath, and Jahath begat... I'm going, Jesus, what is this in the Bible for? I mean, have you ever done that? I mean, I'm looking at God, there's got to be a purpose in this. But I don't know that I can get it by reading this. You're going to have to help me out. Look at somebody and say, the preacher's about to help you. Ah, glory to God. You came here looking for some help this morning, and I'm about to help you. See, some of us need to cry out sometime to God. Don't get all flowery with your prayers. Don't try to speak in the King James language. Don't try to impress your neighbor. Just shout, help! Sometimes that's all you got to do is you got to cry out in the midnight hour and say, God, you need to help this old boy this morning. And so we read through this scripture, I mean, one after another. And we get to verse 9 and it says, now Jabez. He breaks the whole thought. And he says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called him Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Glory to God. Bring some pain on, Jesus. You say, well, I don't know about this. I thought this was a church that preached faith. Well, I'm not telling you that it's God's will that you operate in pain. And I'm not telling you that God can only teach you when you're in pain. But I'm going to tell you this. Some of us are hard-headed Christians. Come on, you're not going to get this word any other way because you got money in the bank. Your marriage is good. Children love you. Dog, you know, wags his tail when you come home. Everything is, all your ducks are in a row. I mean, I could preach till I'm blue and green and I'm falling out on the platform and I still can't get something in you to stir you to believe God's word because you don't have need of anything. But some of us, when we start getting desperate, when we start becoming hungry, I'm talking about hungry. I never thought in my life that a smelling bread would bring me to tears. But when you go a whole year and don't eat bread, don't eat meat, all you have is fruit and vegetables, and a little bit of grain or nut for protein. And after 6 months, you get to take a piece of bread in your hand and just... feel the anointing of God. And after that 12th month, picking up that first slice of bread, putting it in my mouth and tasting it, tears began to well up in my eyes and run down my cheeks. And my family looked at me like, what? You crazy, that's just a piece of bread. No, it might be just a piece of bread to you, but you don't understand. I'm desperate for this bread. I'm hungry for this bread. See, until we get desperate and hungry for God and for His promotion in life, we're not going to be driven to pursue it. Church, here's the thing that America, the church in America, must come to grips with. We've got to position ourselves to become so hungry for a move of God, so desperate for the presence of God. It's like we haven't eaten a meal for 12 days and we're about to starve to death and somebody lays before us a banqueting table and you're not worried about your etiquette. You're not worried about what people think about how much you eat and what you even look like. You just dig in because you are all desperate for what you need to be able to sustain your life. 44 names up to verse 9. Average. I can read them to you. Average. And we get to the 45th. Now, Jabez. Yeah, right. What made him different? What made him stand out? What made him to be above average? What was the difference? Everybody say, what's the difference? What is the difference? See, I want to know that. I want to know what the difference is between 44 other men and one man. The Bible says he was more honorable than all of his brothers. You look up that word honorable, and it actually means in Hebrew, he was more promoted. I said, okay, God, I got something here by the Holy Spirit. In other words, he had something on his mind that wasn't on the minds of 44 other people. Promotion. How many know that promotion comes from the Lord? So you got to have it on your mind. You got to have it in your heart. You've got to begin to think it and see it and feel it and talk about it. You've got to begin to experience it in the realm of the Spirit. Have faith in it because it's the substance of things expected. Those things that are hoped for. He had promotion on his mind. And because he had promotion on his mind, he stood out among his brothers. A church has to have promotion on its mind. A family has to have promotion on its mind. A young person has to realize that this is not all that God has planned for me. That the books were written before I was even formed in my mother's womb. God has a destiny and a purpose and a plan for me. I'm a difference maker. I'm a person that can change the reality of someone else's life. I have an anointing. I have an impartation of favor. There are people waiting for me to show up in their life so I can help them get to the next level. Come on, that's a good place to give Jesus a big hand. Come on, thank God this morning. Hallelujah. You see, pain and poverty's goal is not to keep things from us. Pain and poverty's goal is to keep us from the will of God. And what you and I need to see that our painful situation isn't the devil trying to keep money from my pocket. It is to keep me from the will of God. But I understand something about pain. I understand something about suffering. I understand something about resistance. That pain equals change. And desperation promotes me. Because I know that my God is for me. Look at somebody, tell them, two or three people, God's for you, not against you, baby. God loves you. God has a plan for you. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah in here. Come on. Hallelujah. Successful people are successful because of their dissatisfaction about where they were in life. Living beyond the limits. Living beyond the limits. I also often drive into a city and I'll see corporation limit or city limit. And it declares that the city can go no further. And I think, no, that's just man's limitation. Because there's always annex, ordinance to acquire more. And often cities will limit themselves by their own declarations of their expanse, of what their borders are. We as people think that mama and daddy didn't have it, I'll never have it. Grandpappy never had it, I'll never have it. You know, I talk to people who in this ministry over the years have said to me, you know, I'm the first family member, as far as I know, going back that's ever owned a home. And you know why many of that family never owned their own home? Because their thinking didn't give them permission to live beyond the average of what their family has ever experienced. Until someday, somewhere, somebody put in their mind the idea of promotion. And they began to think differently. And now they've got a house of their own. Some of them here have never had a college education in their family history. Some have never owned a business. Some have never taken a vacation apart from where your family lives. I preached this message years ago. The only place that I knew when I was a kid growing up was Pennsylvania. My folks went back to PA. That's all they called it, PA. Little old coal mine and nothing of a town, Brownsville. We're going back for a wedding. We're going back for a funeral. I thought we were taking vacation. Well, we are. We're going to stay a few days at Aunt Liddy's house. Grew up my whole life going to PA, Aunt Liddy's house. Thank God Aunt Liddy would have us. Didn't know what a motel was. Never stayed in one. Didn't even drive by them. It wasn't on the radar screen of my family. And I remember as a young man, I was employed at U.S. Steel at age 18, making more money in my life than I ever thought I'd make. And a couple of my friends said, let's go to Puerto Rico for a week. I said, where's Puerto Rico? Is that near Brownsville, Pennsylvania? And when I understood where it was, I thought, my God, how do you get there? I can't speak the language. What if something happens? I mean, I don't know how to call home. I mean, this is big. Puerto Rico, man. And I pushed myself and I went. And I told my parents, I said, I'm living at home. I said, I'm going to Puerto Rico. I said, what are you going to Puerto Rico for? You're going to get over there, somebody's going to kill you. They're going to jump on you. They're going to take your money. You're not going to have anything when you get back. Why waste all that money and go to Puerto Rico? Put it in your savings account. I said, look, that's all you all have ever done is put the money in the savings account. I want to live. So I bought a ticket to Puerto Rico. Hotel, rented a car, two other buddies, 18 years old. You know that was a fine time. Wasn't born again, didn't know nothing about Jesus. This was all BC, baby. I like old Spanky and our gang. Remember Spanky and our gang? How you gonna keep them down on the farm? After they've seen Perry. There's something about PA when you've been to Puerto Rico. Jabez had vision in his mind of something greater, something bigger. And he had something the rest of the people did not have. But Jabez's name meant sorrow or pain. Listen to this. In the Hebrew, it actually means this: one who causes pain. See, some of us in this room feel like we're nothing but liabilities to life. You've been a liability to your family. You've been the outcast. You've been the black sheep. You've been the one that doesn't fit. You've been the one that nobody really trusts. Always want to know why you want to go to Puerto Rico. Why can't you just go to PA with the rest of us? Want to keep you in their box. Want to keep you limited. Want to keep you average. And when you begin to break out, you get persecution. And some of you have withered under the persecution. Some of you have been persecuted coming to this old church. Why you want to go up there to that church? You know, they're crazy over there. You see, the real burden of Jabez's name wasn't so much painful one or how he causes pain, but his name defined his future. And what we call ourselves, what we say about our future, our present, often defines our future. Do you think for a moment, if you believe that you're never blessed enough, you'll never be blessed enough to own your own home, if you believe that, have a mentality of that, you think that that present mentality will change your future? I can come back to you in 10 years and you'll be in exactly the same place you are today, because it will design your future. So we need to have a name change. And that's what happened to Jacob in Genesis chapter 32 and verse 24 to 30. It was Jacob that was about to meet his brother Esau. He was a manipulator. He was one that stole the blessing from his brother, that his father was going to lay hands upon him. And he told his son, Esau the oldest, go get me some of that food that I love. And the wife came up and said, here's what you need to do, because she loved Jacob. And she said, listen, you need the blessing. Go fake daddy out. put on some of that fur hair on your arms and put on some of that scent of game and go out and I'll make the stew and you take it into daddy and let him lay hands on you and bless you. And so it tells us that Esau was cheated out of his blessing. But Jacob was hungry for the blessing. But how many know there's a right way to the blessing and there's a wrong way to the blessing? But Jacob now is about to meet up with Esau. And Esau was bad to the bone. Esau had a mighty army with him. Jacob said, I'm going to divide up my family, lest he kill half of them, at least I'll have half left. He was walking in fear. He was walking in doubt. He was walking in regret. He was walking with a liability mindset, even though he had the blessing on him. Church, it so typifies all of us today. You've got the blessing of God on you, but because of liability thinking, because of small thinking, because of average people around you all your life, because you've come from a background, maybe you didn't have education. That's all right. You know what? A college education isn't everything, because I know a lot of unemployed college educated people. So don't put all that in that particular arena. Understand something, that whether you're educated or not, you've got the blessing of God. But you cannot keep the blessing of God as and allow your liability thinking to overshadow the blessing. And so Jacob got into a position with just him and God. Oh God, we need this in our church today. Find me a place where I can get alone with God. Find me a place where I can just be with Jesus for a little bit. Tell him all my sorrows. Let him know all my pains. And let me tell him all my inner thoughts and my heart. And Jacob began to pour himself out with God. And the Bible said he wrestled. Ooh, he wrestled with God all night long. And he said these words, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. And Jacob understood something. What I need is not a change of circumstances. It's not what I need to get the right networking, to get the right person in my life. It's not what I need. I don't need an education. I don't need to have this promotion from man. No, what I need is the blessing of God. What I need is the favor and the impartation of a living God. Come on, throw your hands up and say, Jesus, I need your blessing. Now give him a praise. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. But you got to claim the blessing. Say, the blessing is mine. Somebody walked up to you right now, ladies, and took your purse. You say, excuse me, that's my purse. See, the devil's coming to try to take your blessing. And you just let him have it. Church, taking your blessing. Denomination, taking your blessing. Your community and mind mindset, taking your blessing. False teaching and men's control, taking your blessing. Say, no, you got to understand something. That's mine. You better put it down and you better put it back. So the Bible tells us in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 10, that Jabez, or verse 9, that Jabez was a man above his fellows because of his thinking. But verse 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel saying, oh, wow. He knew he was in pain. Oh! Everybody say, oh. Oh! No. Some of you aren't in pain. You went, oh. No. Oh is not it. It's, oh! Come on. Oh! Yeah, now that's better, see? Yeah, you tell when your kids are hurt or they're playing. Mom, I fell. Get up. Right? You know when they're faking. I just want a little loving. I don't feel good. You'll be all right going to school right now. You know when they're faking and when they're making. You know when it's right, right? God said, oh! So you got to cry out to God. One more time. Come on, practice. Oh! Now you're getting it. Bible said, oh! That you would bless me indeed. Large my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, and that I may not cause pain, that I may not cause pain, that I may not cause pain, that my future would not include my present. So God granted him what he requested. What are you asking God for? What are you asking God for? Oh, God, just help me pay the bills. Oh, God, just help me keep this existence up. It's poor, and I don't like it, but oh, thank you, Jesus. Jabez was among his fellows. Why? Because he had promotion on his mind. Everybody go like this. Say promotion up here. Promotion up here before you'll see promotion out there. It's got to be up here. You got to get up every day of your life and say, I'm about to be promoted. You need to tell somebody, I'm about to be promoted. I'm going up, I'm going up, I'm going up. You got to think about it. You got to know it. You got to begin to believe it. You got to begin to speak it. You got to begin to talk about it. Successful people are those that become dissatisfied with where they are and where they've been. The little difference is the way you think. Proverbs 23:7. As a man, I like the word think. You know what it means there? As a man estimates himself, evaluates himself. As a man comes to a conclusion about who he is, so shall he be. Watch that. As a man comes to the conclusion of who he is, so shall he be. Now, I'm not finished. God's not finished with me yet. Amen. You know, I like that song we used to sing when we first got saved. Well, how'd it go, Tina, about construction? God's not finished with me yet. Kids under construction. The paint is still wet. Kids under construction. Maybe God's not done with me yet. Anyway, we used to sing that song. You all don't have nothing to worry about my me taking worship, okay? You don't have nothing to worry about. I'm under construction. I've not been constructed. Some of us have a period behind our life, and others have ... to be continued. Look at somebody and say, I'm a 3-dot man. I'm a 3-dot woman, baby. This is to be continued. Come on. Shout to be continued. Genesis 12:1-3. Here's what Abraham heard from God. He says, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, that you might be a what? A blessing. Galatians 3:14. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. How? Through Christ. The blessing of the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, say that with me, the blessing of the Lord, maketh one rich. Now see, we don't like hearing that word because that's like prosperity. See, we don't like hearing about that because, you know, we think it's all material. But let me tell you what the word rich means in Hebrew. Don't think in terms of your American definition of the word rich. Because right away, you're hearing that Robin guy talk about the rich and the famous, you know, yachts and all that. Forget that. That is so far from the truth. The Bible says in this scripture, in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord maketh one grow. Maketh one accumulate. Now, we've interpreted or translated that word rich. But it does a disservice to our own application, even in the church, because now we're preaching about how God's people ought to be rich, thinking of money and houses and all that. Fooey on that stuff. I don't want money and houses. I want the blessing. I want the ability to grow. I want the ability to accumulate. I want God's blessing. In other words, the blessing of the Lord makes one to be in a position to accumulate and to grow, meaning I don't have to stay where I'm at. How many remember your children when they get in a growth spurt? You can't keep clothes on them. They're walking around like this. It's like, boy, pull your pants down. Daddy, I can't. I can't. You're giving clothes away. Just bought those. Husband's going, what do you mean you have to buy more clothes? We just bought him clothes 3 months ago. Yeah, but look at him. He doesn't stay where he was. What he used to wear doesn't fit anymore. Come on, somebody. What you used to be, what you used to wear, what you used to do doesn't fit anymore. Some of us need to be updated. Some of you still wearing your hair like you had it in eighth grade. Come on. I'm messing with you now. I know. I had a dare given to me last week. Yeah, I had a dare given to me by certain people that are sitting right over there. I won't tell you who it is. But they're sitting right over there. Yeah, there he is, right there with the cap on. He said, Pastor, I dare you to dress up in gangster clothes on a Sunday morning and preach. If you did that, I'll shave my head. I said, honey, you better get the razor. Why? Because we don't want to be defined by where we've been. We're about to grow. Come on, look at three people. Say, I'm growing in God. Come on, three people, I'm growing in God. We got to seek the blessing. Take our eyes off of things and put them on God. God wants to bless us in order to be a blessing. I'm the best thing that ever happened to you. I know that sounds arrogant. I know that sounds arrogant. You blessed, woman. All you kids, you blessed up in here. Woo-hoo! Why? Because the blessing's on me. And I'm growing, I'm accumulating. And guess what? If I'm growing and accumulating, you get to come along right with me. That's why Lot chose to go with Abraham. Abraham was blessed and so was Lot. Woo! But you got to have a mindset of promotion. Got to have a mindset of growth and accumulation of the blessing and the empowerment of God. To believe in miracles and new beginnings is one thing. To ask for them is an entirely different thing. How many believe in miracles here today? See, we all believe in them. How many of us are desperate and hungry and asking God for one right now? Signs and wonders. Seeking the blessing opens your life to the miraculous. Seeking the blessing opens your life to the miraculous. You see, spring seed is making a demand on the blessing. I'll just, real quick, Genesis 14. Cain, help me. Stand right up here on the second step. Look as handsome as you can be. Woo, looks like he came out of GQ, man. Look at it. Genesis 14, Abraham brought a tithe to give to Melchizedek, his high priest. How many know that Jesus is our high priest? How many know when you bring your tithe and your offering, you don't give it to me, you don't give it to the church, you don't give it to your future, you give it to Jesus, your high priest. Now here's what I want you to do. You be the high priest. I'll be Abraham because I'm older. And I walk up to you and I say, oh, Melchizedek, I bring to you a tithe of all the increase. When I lay it in his hand, the Bible says in Genesis 14 that as I do that, you put your hand on me. Now watch this. No, wait. We're going to do it. We're going to put it on my head. Now don't mess up my hair, though. All right, you ready? I'll bring you. You don't have the tithe yet. Open up your hand. There you go. Open your hand. There, like that. And then get ready to bless me when I put it in your hand. He brought the tithe and put it in his hand, and he blessed Abraham. There was an exchange when Abraham gave him the tithe. Melchizedek, woo, gave him the blessing. Huh? You know what I'm talking about? Now, what did he give him? He didn't give Abraham more money. He gave Abraham the blessing, which is the impartation of favor. But it came when Abraham honored him with the tithe. You following me? He honored him with the tithe and, woo, got the blessing. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I have to learn how to honor God with the tithe so we can honor the world and honor our own lives, thank you, King, with the blessing or with the favor or the impartation, because the blessing of the Lord maketh one what? Grow and accumulate. I'm hungry for God's blessing. Shout that with me. I'm hungry for God's blessing. Say right now, I'm hungry for the miraculous and the signs and wonders. Right now, Minister Troy is going to come and tell you how you can operate in the miracles and signs.